responsibility and the privilege to be able to do it. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is why I love the word of God. That is why I love teaching the word of God. So I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. We are going to read two verses, verses 25 and 26. 2 Kings chapter 4. There we go. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Praise the Lord. I want you to hold your Bible in your hands and just raise it while you are sitting, and we're going to take the confession of faith. It's right there on the screen. You don't have to stand up this time. Just raise it up high and say, "This is my Bible. It is God's word to me. It is true, infallible, and can be trusted at all times. As I hear God's word today, I declare that my heart is receptive, my mind is open. Because of the light from his word, I take only right steps. I make only right decisions. I say only right things. I leave this place a better person than I came, transformed forever by the power of his word. In Jesus' name, amen." Let us pray. I want you to take a moment this morning and just ask the Lord to speak to you through the word today, that you will look beyond the speaker. Ask the Lord to open your heart, to prepare your heart to receive, that every word that will drop today will drop on the fertile ground of your heart. And it will germinate, it will bring forth fruit, it will encourage, it will help you and propel you further in your journey and walk with God. Can you say that word of prayer this morning? Thank you, Father, Lord, for the opportunity to sit down and take hold of the most important thing this morning, your word. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you speak to everyone listening this morning in the name of Jesus. Let your word correct. Let your word instruct. Let your word direct. Let your word encourage. Let your word lift up in the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray, oh God, that you have your way. Let your spirit move. And I pray, oh God, anoint my words, anoint my tongue, anoint my mind. Let the words coming out of this mouth, let it be words of life. Back it up with your power and with your authority. In Jesus' mighty name, we prayed. Amen. Amen. So I don't know whether we picked that question up, that this man of God asked this woman, the Shunammite woman. He says, "Run, quickly go and meet her. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?" I believe that is the question, you know, the most important question that anyone can ask mothers. By the way, I'm not talking to mothers only this morning, but I just want to use an example of a woman in the Bible who we can glean some things from, okay? So I was thinking, you know, when people have conversations, you know, when you ask them things, you know, you discuss, maybe you're discussing a topic, and a lot of times, when you don't hit the right spot, you know, they can't really contribute properly. Like, I was on site this week, and we had to travel from the airport 2 hours to the site I was going to, and, there's a team in the car. And usually like that, they will start talking about footy, they will talk about, you know, all these things that, you know, they're mostly men. I work in an industry, in a men-dominated industry. I work in a, you know, mining, construction industry. And they would talk about all those things, and I would sit at the back of the car quiet. But this week, one of them, I already mentioned to one of them that, oh, it's my husband's birthday this week. You know, today is our wedding anniversary and stuff like that. And he said, "Oh, You mentioned before that it's your wedding anniversary. You know, well, how did you guys meet? I talked for almost 1 hour in the course of the journey, telling them about my husband, my children, you know, because they hated the rice pot. So I believe that, you know, that is the most important, you know, in the life of a woman, you know, a mother especially. It's important. Your family comes first. After God, of course. Your family comes first. You take it serious, right? So when anything happens to your family, you know, it affects you. When anything happens to your children, it affects you, right? So I'm asking you this morning, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your children? Let's look at the story. I'm going to give you a bit of a recap of everything because we're going to be looking at, I want you to keep your Bibles open at that 2 Kings chapter 4 because we're going to read a whole lot of verses. We're doing Bible study this morning, so get ready. So this woman, at the point when she was saying, answering that question with the phrase, it is well, physically, it wasn't well at all with her child. In fact, our child has just died. To make matters worse, our only child. In their culture at the time, you know, your child is like your social security. They don't have any social security. They don't have Centrelink. They don't have good, you know, old age homes. It's the children that look after them in their old age. And she had only one, and that son has just died. That's why I was surprised when I saw that answer. It is well. I'm like, no, it's not. But she said, it is well. It is well. In fact, she didn't say this statement once. You know, there was another time, we'll get there shortly, where she actually said, it is well, when somebody else asked her again. What would make that woman to say it is well when it's, you know, physically not well? It's actually not just not well. It is worse. So let me just recap that story, and then we're going to look at four things in the life of this woman that I think led her to make that statement, it is well. So this woman, starting from verse 8, the Bible says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. So this woman, they didn't even give her a name in the Bible. She was a nameless woman, right? What that means is, you know, I know when the Lord writes the stories, like I said, we're talking about stories this morning. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:11 that now all these things happen unto these people that we're reading their story as examples. They were written for our admonition, whom the hands of the ages have come. That's why we're looking at this story this morning. So this woman was nameless, right? That makes, I think God wants us to relate with this woman. That's why she was nameless. A woman of Shunem, right? A woman of Hellenbrook. Shunem is a small town, you know, in the area where they were living. So you can say a woman of Avely, where you live. A woman of Perth. A woman of Divines. So it is a nameless woman that we can all identify with. But what happened to this woman was she saw a man of God coming, you know, to our town to minister, and she offered food to that man of God, and then she went ahead and provided room for the man of God, and then the man of God actually prayed, and she had a son. She was a notable woman without a son, and eventually this woman's son died, like I said, right? And then she made that statement, it is well. But I want us to dive in a bit deeper this morning. Let's look at the first thing that I pick out from this woman's story that must have led to her saying, it is well. In verse 8, let me read the whole of that verse 8 for you. It says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. Stop. The first thing I want you to take note of is her status. In fact, The NLT translation says a wealthy woman. Amplify says a prominent and influential woman. NIV says a well-to-do woman. So this woman is rich. is influential, is prominent. She has a good status in the society. And like every other, like all the you know, prominent women in the Bible, mentioned in the Bible, this woman had this affluence as her own status. I want you to think about Sarah, Bathsheba, Esther, Abigail. The Bible talks about them being strikingly beautiful. When you think about Deborah, what do you think of? A judge, a leader in Israel. When you think about women who have, you know, children who became, you know, something great in life, you will think of Hannah. You think of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, you know. But the Bible says this woman is, you know, was rich, was notable, was influential. I want to take a pause, you know, at this point and just tell you, especially you mothers here this morning, there is something special about you. You are beautiful. You are strong. You are capable. There is nothing that you are going through now that the Lord has not equipped you for. And there's nothing, there is something that can characterize you, that people can say, that woman, oh, is a strong woman. Oh, when you see Eunice, she doesn't, she doesn't give up. When you see Eunice, you can see beauty radiate from her inside. I just want to remind you of that this morning. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I know you all know Psalm 139. It says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So this woman had a good status. But will she, you know, just say it is well because, you know, of her status? I don't think so. I want us to look at another thing that the Bible says in this story. And that is our service. Our service. So the rest of that verse 1 says, she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there, he turned in to the upper room and lay down there. She first persuaded the man of God anytime she comes to their town to eat. You know, she will make this, you know, beautiful food, you know, food for this man of God. Eventually, she said, oh, let's just make some room for this man. You know, the way the minister go around that in those days, they go around and sleep wherever they can, under the tree. So they are exposed to a lot of hazards, like you know, attack from the animals and stuff like that. So this woman looked after. She served. She served that man of God. And she not only served, you know, that man of God wholeheartedly, she served, you know, with the whole, with what she has. She uses remember I said she was a rich woman. She used what the Lord has blessed her with to serve. So I don't know in which area you are serving this morning. You're serving the Lord. Maybe yours is to teach the kids. Maybe yours is to give to the work of ministry. You know, you are doing the right thing. I just want to take a moment and encourage you. You are doing the right thing. But the good news is God always rewards labor of love. And that's exactly what happened to this woman. He says in verse 13, he says, and I think it's verse 13, verse 12. Then he said to Gehazi's servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he says, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? And in verse 16, it says, then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, don't lie to your maidservant. In verse 17, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. Praise the Lord. He said, Elisha said, you have been doing all these things for us. What can I do for you? That is the God that we serve. You cannot outserve, you know, outserve the blessings of God. God is a rewarder. All your labor is not in vain. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. Whatever the effort you are putting in the life of those children, your labor is not in vain. Wherever you are serving in the works of ministry, your labor is not in vain. This is what that woman did, right? And I don't believe that is only it's not her status only. It's not the service only that made that woman to say it as well. Let's look at the third point. I don't want to go over my time this morning, so I will try. And like I said, bear with me. I will jump from one verse to the other, but we'll get through, I want us to go through that story in full. The third thing is our spirituality. So we've talked about our status. We've talked about our service. Let's look at our spirituality. And by spirituality, I'm not talking of her just being a Christian. I'm talking of her character. Pastor is currently going through a series, called How Not to Live. And last week he was talking about matching our actions with our words, right? Doing what we hear, doing what we say, from the Word of God. So that is what I'm referring to this morning, referring to our spirituality. There is a connection between our character and our faith. James chapter 1, verse 26. You don't have to open there. You can just look on the screen. I want you to keep open 2 Kings chapter 4. James chapter 1, 26. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceive his heart, this person's religion is worthless, useless. So there is a connection between your faith and your character, right? And that's what I want to point to in the life of this woman. Very funny. I was taking a walk with our youngest, Tito, the other day. And we walked and we'll meet people on the way walking. And everyone would just walk past us, Even when she likes greeting everybody on the way when we go for walks. I don't know why. I've told her not to talk to strangers. But anyway, but everyone seems to look away. But this man, we got to a point and this man was walking and walked by and said, hello, how are you? And Tito said, Tito said, yay, how are you? And then as we walked past, Tito said, Mom, I bet that man is a Christian. He's so nice. I bet he's a Christian. So that's what I'm talking about, our spirituality. Let's look at verse 9 again. It says, and she said to her husband, verse 9, look now, I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. I know that this is a man of God. Another translation says, I discern that this is a man of God. It's a discernment. It's a discernment. That is one gift I believe women especially have. You just have a feeling that something is wrong. You just have a feeling that, no, don't go into that business. Why? I don't know. I just have a feeling, She has a discernment. And I want to encourage all the men here. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. It's for a reason. I want you to listen to your wives more. I'm not saying women are right all the time. I know the women are laughing now because they're happy about that statement. Learn to listen to your women more because I believe women have the spirit of discernment. But another thing that this woman had, from that verse, it says the woman went to her husband. So before you women start saying yes, tell them. I want the men to say yes, tell them as well. The woman honored her husband. She kind of showed that she recognizes that man is the head of that home. She's influential. She's independent, right? She's rich. But she went to that man. She can afford all these things. I'm sure she has used her money to put that lamp and the bedstand and to do up that room. But she went to her husband and said, I perceive this is a man of God. Can we do this for him? I'm still learning. I told you that we celebrated, did I mention that? We celebrated 19 years of marriage this past week. Yes. What it to clap for. And I can tell you, I'm still learning this truth. Sometimes I find myself just going to do things and then tell him after. It's wrong. Especially when it comes to major decisions in the home. Don't just go ahead because you have the means. Don't just go ahead because, you know, you can do it. Bring the man along. Show that you honor him. In fact, the greatest need of a man is honor and respect. Contrary to popular belief, it's love and respect. It's honor and respect. It shows that you honor that man. I just thought I would chip that in there. Let's keep going. So this woman was a woman of honor. We're talking about her spirituality. And in verse 12 and 13, when that man of God came to her and said, you know, I want to do something for you. You've been so good to us. What can we do for you? This is the answer that woman gave. And he said to him in verse 13, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. In essence, she's saying, I'm fine. This is a woman that is childless. She's childless. In fact, later on in the verses, the Bible says her husband was old. So it's like she's kind of lost hope, right? But one thing I want you to know about that woman was she was content. She was content with what the Lord has given her. Sometimes we pray and believe God for a whole list of things, and we are impatient. You know, we are not enjoying what the Lord has already provided for us. This woman is just living her life, enjoying her life, doing ministry, even though she didn't have any kids. She was content. So are you a, you know, cup half full or cup half empty person? What would you have asked for? Would you have taken advantage of, you know, of that kind of an open check and just bring a whole list of things? This woman was hospitable, but expecting nothing in return because she was content with the blessing of God in her life. I want to tell you, there are blessings of God in your life. You might not have that other thing yet, but what about the thing you already have? What about that child you've been blessed with? You know, appreciate God for it. Be content with it. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 8 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with this, we shall be content. We shall be content. Praise the Lord. Another thing that shined through as part of our spirituality was a loving touch. A loving touch. Let's keep going down the story. In verse 17, the Bible says, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So she said to her servant, carry him to his mother. Handmaid fond of doing that. Go to your mom. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. I want you to look at that phrase. They brought him to the mom. The mom actually dropped everything she was doing. Everything. That boy must have been suffering from some sort of hell, you know, heat exhaustion or something. I'm not a medical person, but, you know, extreme heat exhaustion can kill. But this woman dropped everything, and she took this boy on her lap, nurtured him, you know, nurtured him, did all she can, just put everything down and tended to this and give that boy that loving touch that the boy needed. That is part of that spirituality I'm talking about. You know, do you take time, you know, to listen, you know, to your children? Are you so encumbered with the things of life, right? That you don't have time for your children anymore. From one job shift to the other. I'm not condemning you, people of God. I'm just making you to realize, you know, that all these things, they don't actually matter as much as we think it does. You know? Do you just when your children are going through difficult, whether they are at home or they are out of the house on their own, it doesn't matter. Do you take time to give them that attention that they need? Hallelujah. Sometimes kids, especially the little ones, you know, it happened with my little one several times when she was younger, that she would just cry, you know, and I'll be like, why are you crying? I don't know. When that happens, I know it's time to just hug her and feel that love tank back again. Hallelujah. It's the same, whether they are young, whether they are 30, whether they are 40, whether they are 50. You know, take time to listen. Don't let the cares of life take those moments away from you. That loving touch. Hallelujah. But all these things that I've mentioned about this woman's spirituality, I still don't think is the only, you know, those are the only things that made that woman to say it is well. She had a good status. You know, she served God with the whole of her heart. She was deeply spiritual. Her faith matches her words. Her faith matches her actions. But I want to look at the key, most important thing that made this woman to say this statement. Hallelujah. It is our source. It is our source. Let me show you from the scriptures. So after that happened, let's read verse 21. The child died. Tragedy struck. You know, I don't know, you know, what bad situation you've experienced in your life. At that point in time, the Bible says that in this world we'll have tribulation. So storms of life come to Christians and not Christians alike. Hallelujah. This woman, the child that she told the prophet, don't lie to me about. Are you kidding me? And she actually went ahead and got that child. The child actually died. This is a child of promise. And in verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So she said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. It is well. When this tragedy happened, this woman, all she could think of is, let me get to that source. Let me get to that source. In their day and time, when someone dies like that, you know, they don't have the, you know, the fancy, you know, hospital system that we have. They call in the mourners and they start, you know, putting some special oils around the body to preserve the body, you know, while they mourn so that they can quickly, pack the body away. This woman went to the room and put this dead child. The most amazing thing is she didn't even tell her husband about it. Don't you think that is weird? She didn't even tell anybody. I think she went to that room to put that boy there because that room, that's just my explanation, right? That room will be the only room no one will go to because they know that room is prepared for the man of God. And she knew that it is that is where the promise came in the first place. So she took that boy there and shut the door and got on a donkey and moved as fast as she could to the source of the promise in the first place. Hallelujah. She needed to get to that source. People might offer help along the way. She could have told her husband. I don't know. The Bible didn't tell us about the spiritual status of her husband. They didn't tell us of how strong her husband was. But sometimes when you tell people, you know, when you broadcast to everybody what you're going through, some people who don't have the level of faith that you have, why trying to help? Why trying to mourn and sympathize with you? You know, they can, your faith can come down. Praise the Lord. And I think that's another reason why this woman just kept this to herself. They are not bad people. And I want to mention that this woman was running to the man of God, right? On the way, the man of God saw her and sent his servant Gehazi to the woman, right? Gehazi tried to help as well. So there are people that will help you, that will offer this assistance along the way. But she kept going. She wanted to see that man of God. And I believe this woman is not just the woman, the man of God. It's not like I'm telling you to put your faith in just the man of God. I'm not saying the man of God is the source, you know, that she was going to. But that man of God was a means to get to the source in their day and time. He was a type of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God the veil is broken right now. We have direct access to our Father. Praise the Lord. Men of God, in these days and time, they are people who help us to get to the source. They encourage our faith. They point us in the right direction. Praise the Lord. So this woman, what did she do? She ran as fast as she could. As fast as she could to get to that source, the source of life. And I'm thinking, as she was moving, by the way, that journey, she went to Mount Carmel. The journey to Mount Carmel from Shunem is about 30 kilometers. And she went on a donkey. I don't think my math is that good to do the calculation. But the Bible says all this happened in one day. They went to that man of God, and the man of God came back with them in the same day. She told the servant, go as fast as you can, unless I tell you to stop. Maybe when I start throwing up or something, that's when you stop. Keep going. She ran as fast as she could to the source. Can you imagine what will have been going through in her mind in that journey, in that long journey with a dead child locked up in a room? I'm thinking, you know, the devil will be bringing so many things into her mind. But 2 Corinthians 10:5 comes to my mind, casting down imaginations and arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. While you are going to that source, keep casting down that imagination. Those thoughts from the devil, those things telling you that this is the end of the story. Because this is not the end of the story. Hallelujah. This is not the end of the story. The woman acted right. She went as fast as she could to the source. She her thought was right. And then most importantly, her speaking was right. She was declaring, it is well. She wasn't telling everyone along the way, yay, my child is dead. That is it. Even though she might be saying, I'm going to the man of God, some people, if it was me, in fact, when that tragedy happened, if it was me, I would have gone to that room, in that man of God's room, and dismantled everything. And because what's the point? I did all this, although I wasn't expecting anything in return. Even when I was offered the promise, I said, are you sure about this? And now the boy is taken away. What some of you will have done when things happen to you, like I would do, is to kick God out of our lives and start asking God questions and saying, why God, why God? And I'm not going to church anymore. I don't want all my Christian friends anymore. That is not what we should do in times of storms. The time of storm is the time to move close to God, is to seek as fast as possible to go to your source. Hallelujah. And how do we go to that source? In prayer. Remember I said we have direct access. Have confidence in that source. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know. Maybe for you is that child. Is that child that you're believing God to heal? Maybe it's that child that has left, you know, the faith that you're believing God to bring back to the fold. Maybe it's your day-to-day, you know, job of motherhood. Maybe it's financial situation. Maybe for you is a marital issue. Maybe it's marriage issue. Maybe it's, you know, physical, you know, ailment in your body. Go to your source of life. The Bible says in Matthew 19:26, this is the word of Jesus himself. He says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So this story ended. I want you to read the full story when you get home because of our time. Do you know the way the story end? The man of God came back with the Shunammite woman. and this child, and prayed for this child, and this child came back to life. Hallelujah. This child came back to life. There is nothing impossible for God to do. God is not the one that gives up. It's us that gives up. We need to keep trusting. We need to keep believing. Hallelujah. And that story did not even end in 2 Kings chapter 4. A few chapters later, 2 Kings chapter 8. I want you to read that when you get home as well. Note it down in your writing pads. 2 Kings chapter 8 from verse 1 to 6. Because this woman knew her source, kept her source, kept going back to her source, she kept on enjoying the benefit of staying connected to the source. Hallelujah. There was famine in the land, and this woman was told to move to another place for 7 years. She heeded the word of God. She came back 7 years after. All her land and everything were taken. She went to the king and said, you know, I need my stuff back. And the king restored everything back to her. All the plants, all the things that had been grown on that land was restored to her. The miracle kept happening. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you this morning as I round up. What is your declaration of faith? What is it, you know, standing on? Is it your status? Is it your service? Is it your spirituality? But the thing that holds all these things together, which is your source, the God, the Father himself. Hallelujah. So it's not what you have. It's not your status. It's not just what you do. It's not your service. But who? It's not even who you are, your character, your spirituality. It is who you know. Praise the Lord. It is who you know. That child is going to be all right because of who you know, the Lord Almighty. That financial issue is going to be taken care of because of who you know, our God Almighty. That situation in your home is going to be taken care of because of who you know, the Lord God Almighty. I want to encourage you, keep going back to Him for strength, for grace, for help. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Keep going back to Him. Keep going back to Him. And as you're going to Him and you are coming out of that place, whether on your own individually or when we come together like this, as you step out of that place where you have been with Him, I want you to keep declaring in faith, it is well. Don't stop saying that, I don't know. I'm sick. I'm sad. I want you to declare. The Bible says declaring those things that are not as though they were. Another one says, I've believed, therefore I speak. Praise the Lord. That's Romans chapter 4, verse 17. I believe, therefore I speak. Keep declaring it is well. In fact, right now I want you to say to someone sitting right next to you, say, it is well. It is well. Look beyond that physical nature of that problem and say, it is well. It's not because of what we do. It's not because of who we are. It's not because of what we have. It's because of who we know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I declare over you this morning that it is well. It is well with that child. It is well with your career. It is well with everything concerning you in the name of Jesus. So for anyone here this morning who is not connected to that source, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not connected yet to that source of life, I want to invite you to connect this morning. And like I always say, it's as easy as ABC. You need to admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all in the same boat. Hallelujah. But there's a good news after that. You believe the good news. What is the good news? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the good news. The wages of sin might be death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And the third step is to just confess. To confess. And you know, in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be connected to that source. Hallelujah. So I want you to just close your eyes this morning and pray with me. If you are making that decision, it will be my my privilege to lead you to connect to that source this morning.